Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, along with our host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson, and our other co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker. And Meg, yesterday we heard Joe White and John Gibson challenge men to become active leaders and mentors for the next generation.
Yeah, we did, Ryan, and it's so important for boys to learn to become men and for girls to learn how to become women. While we were listening yesterday, one of the things that John Gibson talked about really stuck with me. He basically said there are orphans in our churches that aren't typical orphans, but they're orphan in effect that they don't have a father or a mother in their life to model how they should live. As I mentioned last time, he's absolutely right. I see it every day in my pediatric office. More and more kids are growing up in single-parent homes, and it's having a devastating effect on their lives.
It really is, Dr. Meeker. Well, let me go ahead and introduce our guests today. Joe White and John Gibson are both extremely passionate about raising up mentors for children. Joe White is a nationally renowned speaker and the author of over 20 books. He's the founder of Canicut Camps and has started many other ministries, including the one we mentioned today and yesterday, Men at the Cross. Joe's been married to Debbie Joe, and they have 4 children and 11 grandchildren. I love that family. John Gibson is a real estate developer who's developed residential and business properties covering over 1,000 acres in 8 cities over the last 35 years. John helped us get our building that we're in now and the Focus on the Family building when my dad was still at Focus on the Family. He also serves on the board of Firm Foundations Romania, dealing with orphans in Romania. It is an amazing ministry, and the Christian Association of Youth Mentors. And for us, even more importantly, John is a member of the board of directors here at Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Let's go ahead and jump right into the program. Here is Dr. James Dobson with Joe White and John Gibson for the conclusion of Mentoring Boys and Men on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Gentlemen, I want to dive right into where we were last time. We talked about the desperate need for mentors in a culture where there's so many divorces and so many fatherless kids. There are boys and men who hunger for someone to help guide them in life and to be a role model for them. And as a place to begin today, I want to go to 2 Timothy 2:1-2. Which is really kind of a foundation passage for Joe White. And Joe, I'm going to ask you to tell us how this fits into what you're trying to do. And let me read it. "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men, who will also be qualified to teach others." And that's formal language, which is how Paul wrote and spoke. But how did this influence you, and how does it explain what you're trying to do?
Of all the letters that have ever been written, I don't know that there's a letter that's been more loved by men and women around the world for 2,000 years than Paul's last letter to Timothy, his true child in the faith. And if you could allow me just to frame this incredible passion that John and I, and of course you and John, have for the Timothys in this nation, the men and the boys who never had a Paul in their life, let me take you back to that little Roman humble cell, that jail where Paul is about to face his final breath. And like all of us before we face our final breaths, his heart turns to his Timothy, his son in the faith, and he, you know, would just go back with me in reverence, and Paul's shackled to the praetorian guard, and dear Luke is probably there by his side with a, you know, with a stylus and parchment, and I'll just hit the peaks, but he gives Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I give thanks to God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers both night and day, longing to see you, Timothy, even as I remember your tears, so that I may be filled with joy, for I am mindful of the sincere faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that is within you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. And then, Jim, I'll skip to the second chapter and just kind of run through it for a second here in my mind. But that's where he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things that you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And then I'll skip down through the chapter and you know, he's, "Be diligent, Timothy, to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. And flee youthful lust, Timothy, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who name the name of the Lord from a pure heart. And realize this, Timothy, in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips." It sounds like America today. "Without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You, however, remember the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood, Timothy, you've known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God would be adequate, equipped for every good work." And here's where Paul passes the baton, Jim, the baton of faith. He said, "I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith." And John, that every man one day would be able to say that after he's passed the baton to his Timothy, when we face our last breath, that we would be able to say, "In the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day." Every man needs a Timothy.
Oh, Joe, that is powerful. And John, tie these scriptures back to our topic of mentoring children now. Children who need a Timothy, something that you've devoted a lot of time and effort to. What Joe just quoted is the essence of mentoring, isn't it?
It is indeed. Mm-hmm. It is indeed. As you know, Jim, I love to fly. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, it's like an aircraft. When we view an airplane from the sky, we watch it take off, it's a totally different situation than when you climb in the cockpit.
Yeah.
But these kids have never been able to be in the cockpit. They've never been able to see what a good role model is like. They haven't been able to see what it's like for a father and a mother to respond to each other properly. And so what we're doing is we're asking in society for these kids to climb in the cockpit and fly the airplane. But they've had no training. And what we're talking about is for godly men and women to come alongside them, to give them the training so that when it comes their time to hook up with a spiritual partner for life, it will be for life. And that's what happens with these kids. And it's all about doing exactly what Jesus Christ did with his disciples and what he's commanded each of us to do, and that is to pour out our lives like a drink offering to these kids, to stand in the gap for them, because there's nobody else that will do it. We've tried in this nation to pour out money to the government to do it, but government can't do it because government is not in relationship. But we within the church have the ability to be within relationship with these kids and put our arm around them and tell them that God loves them, because nobody else is going to do it. And these kids in so many cases are in such horrific situations that the only way they can survive is if, in fact, they can get acquainted with their Creator, Jesus Christ, who can lead them out of that pit.
John, we've been talking today to men whose hearts have been quickened by what they've heard.
Yes.
There's a tug there. And maybe there's a little voice inside that says, "This is what I want of you. Make your best case to them. They don't have time for this. Nobody has any time anymore." And then to go try to get acquainted with some kid who's been abused, or one that is having behavioral problems. Who knows what you're going to deal with? Explain why, if it were me, I ought to think in these terms.
Can I do that by sharing a letter from a single parent?
Please do.
This is a letter written to the head of a very large church. And she leads out in this way. She says, "You may not know me nor my sons, but you knew their father, Mike, who was a landscape superintendent at the church, before his death almost 4 years ago. Since that time, both of my sons have been matched with mentors through the church mentoring ministry. I want to tell you what important influences those men have been in the lives of my boys. And she tells several stories, and I'll just share one. Larry does those guy things with Jimmy that I would never do, things like sporting events, playing catch, and cruising the aisles of Home Depot. I'm not really sure what they talk about when they're together, and that's as it should be. But I know that when Jimmy has questions about his life as an adolescent boy, he has a safe person to talk to them with. And she ends her letter with this: "No one will ever be able to replace Mike in the lives of my boys, but I know that the time and love that these men give my boys is something Mike would be very grateful for it was Mike's dream that his sons should grow up to be strong men in Christ, and I feel sure that with the help of their mentors, Mike's dream will one day be a reality." Now, that doesn't just go for widows who have lost their husband to death. It goes to the widows who have lost their husbands because they walked out on them and those precious kids that deserve better.
Joe, I remember writing, bringing up boys and talking about the fact that mothers are not equipped to teach a boy how to be a man. I hope that doesn't insult anybody. They can do what they can, and many of them do a fantastic job, but it takes a man to teach a boy how to be a man, because you have to experience it in order to pass it on. And I just think of all those single mothers out there that are aching for masculine contact and love and direction and mentoring for their boys that are out there. They see the need. And frequently within the church, you know, there's just not a recognition of that need. Joe, I'm really interested in what you're doing with Men at the Cross. Where'd that idea come from? How did you get started?
Well, ironically enough, I did 85 Promise Keepers events over the years and fell in love with America's men, hugged thousands of men at the foot of that cross over the years. But Men at the Cross began in a prison. One of our events was at Marion Prison, at a high-security prison in Ohio, a prison that historically had been very difficult, most men locked away for decades. But we did an event there, and I thought I was there to bless the men. Little did I know, I would go into a prison that had been transformed by seven, as we say, ordinary guys, just like a couple of guys sitting at these microphones, who had gone into that prison, and each man had intentionally loved one man to Jesus until that inmate was ready to love another man to Jesus. And then with the warden's blessing, they would change cells. And those 14 would love 14 men to Jesus over a period of weeks and months until those 14 were ready to love another man to Jesus. 28, 56, I can't go any further, Dr. Dobson, but the power of multiplication took over. In 7 years, the prison had been transformed. And guys, I'm not exaggerating. The guards and prisoners walked as one. There were no racial barriers. There were no socioeconomic barriers. There were no denominational issues. Everybody in that prison had become a family in Christ through just one-on-one, simple, loving a man to Jesus till that man is ready to love another man to Jesus. And that's our vision for the United States of America and the world.
Is that still possible today?
Yes. Yes. And that is what we're seeing as this movement is progressing around the country, Jim. The guys are getting it, and the guys are going out and doing what we learn in Marion to the boys, the teenagers, and to the fatherless men in our country.
Are the wardens permitting it?
In this particular case, yes. And I don't know how many prisons are doing that, but in this case, yes.
Now, you've got to explain Men at the Cross, because this is the day that I decided to put this program together. You were describing that to me, and you really got a hold of me. Explain what it is that you're trying to do.
Well, Jim, you know, I've got USA Today here that says almost all denominations are losing ground in America. I've got Newsweek here, the decline and fall of Christian America. I've got Barna in front of me, the latest Barna survey that says only one half of 1% of the 18 to 23-year-olds in America have a biblical worldview. That's 1 in 200. I mean, we are in a spiritual valley in this country like we've never been before. But as you and I know from planting trees and farming through the years, in valleys, the greatest trees grow. Christianity always has flourished in difficulty and stress and warfare. So out of this valley, God, and it's sure not the team and me who's doing anything, but God is raising up this movement called Men at the Cross. But these men are serious about coming in, bringing the church, bringing the pastors with the church, and equipping the church to be the discipleship place in the town. And we have hundreds, literally, Jim, of churches that come together in these movements of Men at the Cross when we come to a city. And we ask all the coaches in the town to bring a fatherless boy. We ask all the youth directors in the town to bring a fatherless boy. We ask all the men in the town to bring their teenage sons. And if they don't have a teenage son, we ask them to bring a fatherless boy. And so with Michael W. Smith and with Tony Evans and with Wick Rigsby and with Miles McPherson and these great communicators, Gary Rosberg, Gary Smalley, we take these men for 7 hours and we equip the men to be a lifetime disciple maker. And so they go back to the church with their pastors and with their Barnabases, the encouragers in the church, and they continue the training in the church. We give the pastors and the Barnabases follow-up training that for 24 weeks. And you know what, Jim, you've seen the numbers. And John, this is why you and I are so motivated for discipleship. I've got a chart here that says if just two men will disciple two men every 6 months, just two men on two men every 6 months, or two men on two fatherless boys every 6 months, and equip those men or boys to go out and pass the baton to another Timothy, in 16 years, those two men can reach 8,589,000,000 people. This is my hope for the United States of America, Jim, that we would be a discipled nation, that someday America's pastime, as good as baseball is, it wouldn't be baseball. Our pastime would be discipleship. That's
now,
our dream.
What we've got here, and the reason that I wanted you gentlemen to be here together, is that you're working with the men to motivate them. And, John, you are the recipient of that commitment.
That's why I'm so grateful for this connection.
You're working with children. You're working with men. Together, it makes a powerful movement.
It makes a powerful movement. And I want to second what Joe said in a different way. This nation has shown time and time again that when the chips are down, when things are tough, that men of God will stand up. It happened in World War II. It happened in 9/11. And I believe now that our economic times are really, really tough, that people will stand up and say, what's wrong and what can we do? And I believe in your audience, Jim, that's why I'm thrilled to be here, that they will stand up and pick up that baton that Joe is talking about and they'll pass it on.
Ah.
You know, in my business, I've been building buildings, but those buildings are rotting and they're falling down. But when we can share into the lives of these kids, that's for eternity. That's forever. And it just is, it's a humbling experience to be here and talk about this. And it's a reminder to us that we all, as men, need to be on our faces before God to be the pure men that we can be so that we can then in turn share with these kids.
Well, we gave this information last time. Let's do it again because there'll be a lot of people listening to us who didn't hear first broadcast.
Sure.
Describe CAYM for us.
CAYM is Christian Association of Youth Mentors. Your friend and mine, Stu Epperson, has joined forces with us to help make this work.
He was here to talk about this same subject.
Yes. We've joined forces together with a number of other men across the country, and it's basically an association of the members rather than for the members. As Joe talked about earlier, it's a bunch of volunteers who work together. They share anything they have with each other. All you have to do is contact that organization by going to CAYM.org. You'll in turn be contacted by phone by one of our associates all over this nation who will introduce you to how you can get started. We have training classes that can train folks because it may seem like an overwhelming obstacle to get through, but it's not. And it's easy. You just have to get everything set up with a small group and they can do it to teach you how to train the people, how to do the screening you need, to make sure that we're hooking these kids up with committed people who are the right people and give you the tools you need. I want to partner with Joe for some of his tools so that we can lead these kids out of this valley that they're in and to a valley where they can survive.
Okay, let's suppose there's a dad out there who is going to go to an NBA game, a playoff game, we'll say, and he's got two tickets, one for himself and his son, but he's got a third ticket. He could easily bring another kid along with him.
He can put his arm around that kid and bring him, and the rewards are phenomenal. Can I share with you a story?
Sure.
This comes from an 80-year-old man who contacted his mentor coordinator and said, could I get together? It was urgent. He wanted to get together for lunch. And the mentor coordinator said, sure. And they sat down for lunch, had some small talk, and then Bob abruptly pulled out a birthday card and he started to read it. And he only got through, dear Bob, and he broke out into tears. And he pushed the card over to the mentor coordinator and asked him to read it. And the card read, dear Bob, you're always complimenting me on my good values and the decisions I make. I want you to know that all this good you keep talking about, I learned from you. Happy 80th birthday. You are really an awesome friend, Jim. Now this card, we need to talk about it. Through his tears, he said that the amazing thing was that showing consistent love to this kid, starting out at 9 years of age for 13 years, has been one of the simplest things possible. And he said, as I look back at my life, outside of my marriage and my own kids, it's the most significant thing I've ever done. Jim sent this card from college, and it was Bob who planted the idea of college. It was Bob who signed Jim up for the SATs. It was Bob who took him to look at the colleges and who led him through the application process. And it was Bob who was the one who early sat in the stands at the Pee Wee football games. And as we talked about earlier, all children need somebody to sit in the stands and cheer for them.
And those kids will be in heaven because of the effort of those mentors. Joe, last thing you want to say to us?
My heart's breaking and my heart is just, you know, exploding because I do believe this is the way that we can turn this nation's heart back to Christ. Men can do it. Men, it's written on our hearts. The Great Commission is written on our hearts. We all have it inside of us to love our wives as Christ loved the church and really to mentor her in a humble, serving way. For sure, to mentor the boys and the girls who call us daddy, to tuck them in bed at night and take time to pray and to memorize a little Bible verse with them at breakfast, just to hit a little taste of Proverbs before they go roaring out of the door to school. And then outside of our homes, finding these fatherless men in our communities, our fatherless boys in our communities, and giving them the incredible grace that we've been given by God. There's not a man in a church in the country who isn't called to do it, and there's not a man who can't do it.
Give us the location, how people can reach you, and tell us where Men at the Cross can be heard or participate.
Yeah, menatthecross.org. Get on the website. It tells the event locations and the time for the events as they come up.
I love you both.
Love you too, Jim. It's always great to be with you.
Joe White and John Gibson, two great friends who are now friends to one another.
For life.
Okay. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, Meg, what a tremendous broadcast. I am so glad we've taken these 2 days to cover such an important topic. Mm-hmm. You've been listening to the conclusion of Mentoring Boys and Men here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, along with our fellow co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker. And again, Meg, I know that mentoring and leading young kids is something you care a lot about.
I sure do, Ryan. As I did the research for both Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters and my newest book, Strong Mothers, Strong Sons, it amazed me to see how important modeling is for our children. Mm-hmm. It's no wonder our culture and society are so quickly deteriorating because children are growing up without moms and dads to teach them how to create and live within a successful society. In fact, there's several studies that show that the average child in America, this is amazing, spends more time watching TV and listening to music, in other words, with their electronics, than they do with their parents. And that means that media is the primary mentor of the next generation, and we've got to change that.
We absolutely do. In fact, my dad talked about that in 1978 on his very first film series. It was true then, it's true today, that dads, because they're at work most of the time, don't spend very much time with their kids. And we've really got to, one, spend more time with our kids, and two, be intentional about it. I don't think people realize that kids are going to get the picture of how to live their lives from somewhere, and if it's not their parents or a godly leader, they will base their lives around TV personalities, rock stars, athletes, musicians. Someone has got to step in and model for these kids what it looks like to live a successful life based around the foundation of Scripture and the person of Jesus Christ. And Meg, that's why Family Talk is here.
It sure is, Ryan. Family Talk exists to preserve and promote the institution of the family and the biblical principles on which it's based. We are here to help moms and dads, grandparents and leaders pass on the legacy of faith in Jesus Christ from one generation to the next generation. And that's the foundation for a successful society. But we need your help to accomplish it. Mm-hmm. You can be part of what God is doing right here through our work at Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk by donating today either on our website or by calling us at 877-732-6825. And of course, you can always use our Family Talk smartphone app to give us a donation.
And once again, thanks for joining us today. And we look forward to seeing you again next time right here for another great edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.